So can everyone please stand with me and welcome Pastor Wendy Wood for today's message.
Okay. I don't know. Oh, we do have it on. Thank you. Hello. Please sit. Get comfy. A third sermon for today. So crowded in here. Okay. I was thinking, no longer will Africa be the dark continent because the light of the world is going there. Yeah, amen. Matthias is a very inspiring person. You bring the light with you, and I think every time he does walk into a room, it lightens because you exude love, but you also exude the authority and the. I think you know who you are in Messiah and your direction and your vision and your directive for God, for his kingdom. And I think that's how we're supposed to be. We're not necessarily all have the same personality. That's how Matthias dances. We're not all the same, but he owns it. That's right, and he does it really well. So those are the things, though, that I know God puts in us to do. And I met Matthias 3 years ago. And actually I had met or seen him before that, and I was just one of those things where God just keys you into someone. But when I met him, we talked briefly, and I talked a little bit about Sabbath, but I always knew, and I felt really strong in my spirit that he was supposed to be connected with Beit Lechem. So in whatever fashion that is, I don't know, but I knew that a long time ago. So I'm going to try and move this a little bit. Okay. I thought, as Pastor Taylor was talking about Hanukkah, I have so many things in my mind today about what God wanted to share, and I'm not going to be up here very long, don't worry. but man, we are living out Hanukkah today, aren't we? I thought, you know, America is not necessarily righteous. We're not necessarily a temple set apart, but you know, we were created, we were founded with that idea of being a set apart nation. We certainly were set up with making covenant with Yahweh. You know, we know the pilgrims came over with the idea of being able to have freedom of religion, to be able to worship God freely. And they did set it apart as a sanctuary in that respect. And they made covenant. In fact, they debated if Hebrew should be our national language. Wouldn't that have been easier? You know? Bet we would have understood the Bible a lot differently. But it made me think of that, and we've allowed it to become defiled. The pig's blood has been spread on our altars. And it's not just because America, but because we as people individually have allowed it too. And I think that it has been a passive spirit in our churches. And that is in the individuals of Christians too, that we've gone to church and we've done our thing and we go home and that's it. And you know, how much have we really gotten on fire this last year, how much have we really been, it is why we had a fire. It was to test us and to strengthen us and to prepare us and to say, hey, yeah, things are getting harder. But how much have we been on our faces praying and crying out, Hoshiana, we beseech you, Father. I've never done that much in my life. I mean, there's been seasons, but not this consistently, because it's something that God is doing in us. He's taking away that lukewarm. And as we see that polarization in the nation between, you know, the left and the right, or you believe this way and I believe that, we're seeing that between who's really on fire for God and those that don't want to get involved. And, you know, I've never really been a political person. Our family hasn't really been political people. We talk about politics, but we've never been the kind to stand on the street corner and hold up pro-life signs until this year, you know? But gosh, I tell Mom, I feel so restless. I'm like, what are we supposed to be doing? Yes, we're supposed to be praying, but do we print out charts and graphs of statistics and what things are working and not working in life? You know, because they're not. You know, the things that we think are safeguards are not working. They're not the things protecting us. And I think about how alone and scary that feels to our flesh, you know? To think that, you know, I'm going to do all the things that I'm supposed to do. I'm going to follow the science. And yet, I still might get sick. I still might have a life-threatening illness. I still might do whatever or be exposed to whatever. And that's not to say that don't do it. If you feel like you need to wear a mask, please do it. We love you and do it. That's your conviction, and I respect that. Yes, we are a safe place here for that, if that's what you feel you need to do. But we need to know, ultimately, our protection, it does not lie in that mask. And that's, just know the difference. And I think we do know that. We do. Yeah, we do. But and you know, and sometimes God just does it to humble us too. There are times, I just was thinking about but how do we walk into a room and become that light? How do we be that? Where we walk into, I just felt like before going to Hawaii that that I really was like, Lord, how do we change Hawaii? You know, how do we make a difference? And I know that, I hope that doesn't sound like an arrogant prayer because, you know, I'm just a person, but I really would feel like that's the power and the authority God's given us to go in and change nations, you know? But I really went about it wrong. Because as soon as we landed, we had to take a third COVID test, and I was so angry. And I knew it was a possibility, but we randomly got picked. So, I mean, they pick every fifth person, and we actually let a family go in front of us. And then we went through, and it went, green light. And I'm like, this is in your head. So anyway, so we had to pull over, take our test, and I filled out that paperwork like a five-year-old. I was like, this is our name. This is, you know, I thought, I hope they can't recognize it. And I really, for the first few days, battled with the whole mandates on things. It was like, gosh, why am I so, Joy kept pointing, why are you so rebellious, Mom? Why is it that big of a deal? I think, well, essentially, I can't remember what you said exactly, but that's what she said. Yeah, but it, and you know, and she made good points because these were individual businesses and these were things, because that's just, yeah, anyway. But you know what God hit me with was, that's not how you change it in your flesh, knee-jerk. You know, if I'm going to go in and I'm going to respect the business, that's what they're asking, that's what I'm going to do, you know, and I did. And so, but what I thought, what really is driving this, and it's fear. A lot of it is fear. And so God just started showing me, how do you give hope to people? How do you help them in these things? And we went and toured a palace in Hawaii that was really, really neat, right on the coast, of course. And this lady that was our tour guide, she started out saying, well, this is an island, and the Spanish flu killed so many here at the, 100 years ago, and very, very freaked out sounding, and this could wipe us out again. And you know, and I know a lot about the Spanish flu. I've studied it, researched it, you know. And this is not the Spanish flu. Let me just say things have changed. But point being, I just was praying the whole time. Lord, should I say anything to her? How do I say it? And I finally just broached the topic at the end of our tour. And there was nobody else because people aren't touring. They're not vacationing. They're not spending money. Their economy is really suffering. So we had the whole house to her for 2 hours. So God set that up. And I just asked her. I just said, so are you afraid? Is this something you're afraid of? And she said, no. And I said, does it, because I said, our faith is in God. And she said, amen, so is mine. And I teach my kids to know God. And I'm like, whoa. And it was just cool because I never would have thought this lady had that kind of peace from what she had said earlier. And I asked her, do you want to pray together? Because she just opened up. She just spread like, I just went on a date. I'm single. I'm, you know, I have four kids. I'm like, hey, I did that. And but she started crying. She goes, I can't believe, why am I talking? I can't believe I'm sharing all this with you and I'm crying in front of you. And I said, that happens a lot with me. It's just something, you know, I know it's like God puts a connection there. And yeah, and I said, you're my sister. And she took off her mask. She took off her gloves. She held my hands and we prayed together right there, you know. And I just thought, wow, that's awesome, God. You know, what a cool thing. He showed me how we can fight this in our flesh and fight it in our spirit. And then we were at a restaurant, too, and this lady was in there cleaning. And I felt bad to go because I thought she's going to have to clean again after I leave. And I just said, thank you for doing this. I bet this gets old on. She goes, well, I don't know. This is scary. I got to keep it clean. And I said, well, thank you. You're doing a great job. And I said, but be at peace. Be at peace. I don't know. I just said it like that. And she goes, thank you. You're right. I need to remember that. Gosh, thank you. I mean, we didn't talk about anything else. It just, that was all God put on my lips to say, you know. And I feel like every time I teach, I go through so much. Like that week, I really battle. And I mean, we all feel things. I don't know how you feel it, but I always feel God here in my gut. And it's really, really strong, but it's really heavy the week that I teach. God just does stuff to me. He teaches me, I guess. So this week has been like that. I've battled tons of fear. And I thought, where is it? It's just nebulous. It's like every single thought is horrible. And, you know, I just thought, I just want to hunker down and not, you know, how do I shut my brain off? But I know Yvette and I have really, we're like twins in this area. Yeah, she's battled a lot of it too. And I think some of it is because we're called to bring encouragement to others. We're called to stand and to bring light and to bring worship to our God's people. And so I think that's partly why it is such a battle at times for us. And I, you know, but the fact that we were going through this at the same time, I think there's something to that. But I also think it's exactly what Joseph went through too, and that's our portion this week. That what an amazing thing. Zach and I talked about this because he's 17. You know, that's the same age Joseph was. And at the time that he had this vision God gave him, what an amazing, beautiful thing he showed him. Like, wow, what an awesome thing I just had. Let me share it with you guys. Are you excited for me? No. I mean, even his own father was a little bit, like, put off by Joseph's dream that he had, you know. And his brothers, you know, and there was not a lot of wisdom in how he shared it, of course. He shared it with brothers that had animosity and jealousy and thought he's going to have more authority than we will. You know, the very people that should support you sometimes are the ones that are jealous of you. And that was what he didn't know at the time. But his own brothers threw him in a pit without water. And all this time I thought, what do you think went through his head? I was just going to read really quickly the themes in this portion here. We are going through extreme testing right now. There are times that we go through a wilderness, and it makes me think, does God put us in the wilderness, or do we do it to ourselves? Both. That's right. There are times that God takes us purposely into a wilderness. And I believe he did that with Joseph, and it was for preparation, right? So, I'm on the wrong page. Here are the themes. Joseph is given a vision, but foolishly shares it. Okay, his father tasks him to check on his brothers. This is totally Yeshua. I mean, this is, you know, a picture of Jesus when he came to earth. Go check on your brothers. Go out to the field. he goes into the field. He's met by a man who gives him guidance, Holy Spirit. Betrayed by brothers, thrown into a pit, sold to slave traders, who are his own family members, Ishmael, if you recall. Judah saves him. 20 pieces of silver he sold for. So if we account for inflation, it was probably about 30 pieces of silver later on in life. That's another parallel to Yeshua. He's taken to Egypt. I thought, you know, that's if this were right here, if Zach was taken by people, thrown out, and someone took him, slave traders took him, it's about the distance from here to Salt Lake City, Canaan to Egypt. So it's 5 hours away, you know, by car. But by walking, you know, probably a couple days. And I thought, man, it probably felt like the end of the earth. He thought, I probably won't see my dad anymore, my family anymore. But how do you go from given this vision, this excitement, like we did here, you know, to now feeling like, oh my God, what's happening in our world? And I don't mean to make that sound depressing or fearful, but God really hit me with, I think some of my fear is not knowing what our future is, not recognizing, not feeling comfortable, things are different. What of our comforts? You know, we've had comforts taken from us. And we actually, as Americans, enjoy freedom. We know what it feels like to be free. We know what it feels like to go outside and wear whatever the heck we want to wear, you know, or not wear. And I thought, it feels annoying and it feels scary to think of what else are they going to take from us. But I think we have to be willing to say, Yahweh, what are you allowing in this too? And it doesn't mean, and I feel like that's a really hard line, because some of it, God's calling us to stand firm. But some of it, we need to have discernment and say, what do we surrender? Because I think really, ultimately, it comes down to, what do we surrender in our flesh? Because what are you saying? You know, what's your line in this? Where's your line in the sand too? And so I don't know exactly, but I think it's something to be prayerful about. I think of what must have gone through Joseph's head. You know, where are you, God? Really, you took me here and now I'm here. And then he's raised up again. But you know, all the while he was in Potiphar's house, he was tested. He was tested daily by Potiphar's wife. You know, and I would say he probably was very tempted. You know, he's a single guy, alone and needing comfort. And so I'm sure it was tempting to him at times to want to be with her. Yet at the same time, you know, he knew what he would lose. So ultimately, God allowed him to lose all of that again. He was raised right. He was. That's true. And he knew. So I think in his core, he knew God was doing something. He had to have. Because look at the things that God, everything he did, he prospered. Potiphar said, wow, you're amazing. You got this. Yeah, the snow is amazing too. Thank you, Yahweh, for the moisture. Anyway, I'm going to focus here. So he knew, though, because everything he touched prospered. God entrusted him with all those things. When he went into prison, he was instantly like, you got this, Joseph. You know, I think he spent 13 years in prison, too. What an incredible time. Is that our air, our heater? Our fans. Oh, yeah, they need to be turned down, please. Thank you. Thought a jet was coming. So there have a lot of thoughts and a lot of jumbled things, and I thought Joseph probably really, really questioned his walk with God and really said, where are you, and have you abandoned me? And I think there are times we ask God the same, and it feels like that. And you look around, and there's no comfort, and I even read the Bible this week, well, more than once, but, you know, I don't normally do that, but... When I read one day, looking for comfort, I was even more discouraged. I was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. All these prophets that came to the kings and said, you know, they gave them these warnings, and you thought, oh good, they were given a warning, they're going to turn. No. Or when they did turn, it wasn't immediate. It was like, in 70 years, you'll be free again. Oh good, you know, I'll be dead. Most likely, you know. But I do want to, so I have a couple of scriptures. I don't have very many. So this one says, you must not fear, Isaiah 41:10. It doesn't ask, it doesn't say if you are okay. It says, don't do it. You must not, for I am with you. You must not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Indeed, I will help you. Indeed, I will take hold of you with the right hand of my salvation. So do you think that that is a commandment? And do you think that it is a sin to do that, to not do that, to fear, whatever? Yeah, these are words to Israel. We are Israel. So if God says don't fear, does that mean we can't just have fear? I think that that's a very real thing. Fear comes in. But do we act in it? Do we make our decisions based on it? You know, do we lay down and go, oh God, I can't, okay, this. Okay, I got to plan out my day. I got to plan out every single thing because what if this or what if this or what if that? You know, that's the sin. Fear is going to come on us, and what we do with it. There were like 3 or 4 mornings in a row in Hawaii where I, for 2 hours, battled every single thought. It came in like, it felt like mini bombs in my gut, just mini bombs of anxiety. It was horrible. I was like, what's happening? Yeah, I'm on vacation. I'm not supposed to like have a break from this, and it was worse. But that's where God showed me. It's not vacation time. Not that we can't have reprieve, but we're still battling no matter what. So it was, there's just days that we're going to have that, or we're going to have to fight it like that. But the thing that was interesting God brought me to, whoa, why is it doing that? Did you do something, Jerry? Oh, man. All right, well, Habakkuk. So did you know there's a Bible or a chapter or a book in the Bible called Habakkuk? I know we do. It's one of those obscure ones that the other night I was sleeping and I just woke up to this. Go back. Habakkuk 1. So this, 1:1, sorry. It's two more slides back. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw, and you can keep going forward. Do you think I can do it? Okay. Oh, Yahweh, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? How long will I cry out to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you cause me to see evil while you look at trouble? Destruction and violence happen before me. Contention and strife arise. Do you feel like that's our nation right now? Our world, not our nation, our world. You know, growing up, we learned about the Holocaust, and we learned about never again. You know, you need to know these things, so this never will happen again. And I thought, okay, so now what? We see some of the signs. I don't think we're going to enter into a Holocaust. I really don't feel that in my gut. What? The babies are, that's for sure. Yeah. But I do think that, but we see these signs. And it's like, so now what? You know, we know them, we see them, now what? We need to be crying out and saying these things, just like Habakkuk did. And he even says in the next verse, your Torah, what does it even mean? And I thought, wow, this was a prophet of God saying these things to God. And then in chapter 2, I'm just kind of giving you a quick summary because there's 3 chapters in Habakkuk. But Yahweh said, and this is when Yahweh kind of goes, okay, I've heard your crying, now be quiet. Yahweh's in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Like, I got this. Yeah, you've got all these things. You have to lament. That's fine. You have to cry out. Cry out to him. Wrestle with him. That's what Jacob had to do. He has to. We have to wrestle. That is righteous. You know, when we have the fear, if we just try to ignore it or forget it or drown it with alcohol or drugs or whatever, TV, whatever, it's not going to go away. It's there. We have to wrestle through it. But God's in his temple, and the earth be silent before him. And then the last chapter, last verse of that chapter, Yahweh, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. He causes me to walk on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments, let it be spoken. This is Habakkuk. This is where he settled it in his spirit, and he said, okay. I've wrestled, and this is where I'm settled. So I just feel like that was something God really woke me up to hear and to know and to be encouraged about, and for us to be encouraged about it. You know, there's a few other little notes I have. I did go longer than I meant to. Sorry. When we were in Hawaii, I thought, so here I was feeling all this anxiety, and I thought, God, I feel like such a hypocrite. I'm supposed to be walking in peace. And I'm here giving hope and peace to people, and I'm walking in anxiety right now. But I thought, that's sometimes where we are, but God's still speaking to us. He's still guiding us if we're seeking him. And that's the cool thing. We can't judge by how we feel. You know, we got to judge by the faithfulness of God, and that we know that. We know that here. So when I got on the airplane, when we got on Friday night at 11 p.m., I looked at the plane, and we board outside, and I just looked at it, and I really stared at one of the engines, and I don't know why, I just did. And I said, Yahweh, if anything's wrong with this plane, just show the crew and the engine. And we went and sat down, and we waited. And there was an announcement within like 20 minutes that, so we think a flock of birds might have flown into engine number 1, the engine I was looking at. We're going to send a crew to check it out. I don't know when that would have happened, like on the previous flight or whatever. And so it delayed us an hour, but I thought, so careful what you pray for. But I just thought, wow, Yahweh, thank you. Thank you for tuning me into that. It wasn't even a great, like, you know, wires that came up. It was just a sense. Yeah, still a small voice. And then the other thing I wanted to share, too, really quickly was, so yesterday when Andrea was in her, you know, 50th hour of labor or whatever it was, just kidding, she actually, her real hard labor was maybe about 3 or 4 hours where she, it was real intense. But before that, she was peaceful, good, you know, eating, talking, laughing. But that morning, I was supposed to go to a doctor's appointment, and it was at 10:20, and I thought, oh, she's going to be right in the midst of, you know, I don't want to miss the baby. And I really was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I asked Mom to pray with me, and she just did, and just, you know, all the things she put out there, we just prayed about. And within, like, about an hour, I think, the doctor's office called me and said, hey, can you come in an hour and a half earlier? Like, can you come in at 9 a.m. instead? I know, it was like, wow. There had been, I think it was because of, I think there was a wreck. Edith, did you say that? I-70, was there wrecks? Yeah, so they had closed, and so some people couldn't get to their appointments, and they needed to bump me up. But regardless, it was just, it was an answer to prayer. It was a leading, and it just hit me praying about every little thing right now. It's really important. It's really important to be knowing. Just, and that's the thing I thought, too. Joseph was alone in the pit. And there are times we are very alone, and we feel very alone, and we can have our family surrounding us completely, but we're still alone. And God does that. He brings us to those places of feeling very alone, because we need more than ever right now to know that God is in that waterless pit with us. For whatever that's worth to you right now, because I know we're all probably battling something, know that He's in that pit with us, and it's preparing us. It is. It's preparing us for the next thing. So our hope is in that. Our hope is in Him. It's not in the signs we're seeing out there. It's not in the, ooh, what if Biden, you know, or what if Trump, all of those things. It's not in that. So we have to really surrender all those outcomes to God. And as, you know, and it is. It's a hard battle here, but surrender it. Just do. And then lastly, Tessa. Yes, her name, as Pastor said, her name means to gather, and her middle name, Catherine, is pure and clean. So she's a gatherer. She's, and I know that's something that Matt and Andrea felt like that, that this is God's bringing some healing with this baby. Look how scattered this year has been. Look how scattered our church has gone through a scattering, you know? And this is a time when God wants us to gather, and He's telling, and it's funny, too, because that push for, ooh, we need to be, God's breaking down churches. He's going. He's everywhere. We don't need a building for that. You know, we don't need that. Yet, God allowed us to have a building. God brought, yeah, really. God allowed us to have a building that's paid off. He allowed us to have, to be here still. And that's for a purpose. That's so that there is a sanctuary. There is a place. It's just like America. He allowed an America to be here because it's always been a beacon of hope. It is a country that has always been, it's pretty much led the world. And that's, and this country was founded on Yahweh. And that's where, as believers in Him, I feel like that's where we need to continue to pray and be that beacon of light and hope. But that's why we have a place here too. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Would you stand with me? I was going to have a little bit more time of discussion, but it's late, so I'm just going to skip that. But I do want to know, if you shout out anything you've been battling this week, and I'll say fear and anxiety, and we're going to pray over those things and cancel those things out. So, okay, you can speak them out now. Sadness, depression, grief, yep. Flesh and uncertainty. Growth, confusion, fear, anger, good. Lethargy, that's good. Oppression, lack of faith, judgment, what? No sugar. might translate as angry. Weakness in our flesh. Tired, yeah, lethargy, yeah. Yeah, it's good. I think there is too. As Mom said too, God is changing our feast day, how we do our feast days. So even our Hanukkah celebration, he's changing it. So we're rededicating our temples today, and we're going to lay those things. What was the last thing you just said? Stiffness. Okay, so we're laying those things down. And even if we feel them again, we're going to keep battling them because we're not going to judge by those things. We're going to know that our God is in there working. So, Father, we do lay these things down, and whatever else comes to mind, Yahweh, we just continue, and we thank you that you stamp these things out, that that you are battling these enemies for us. Thank you for being with Connie, who's in the hospital right now, and for Ken and Connie also, who are at home watching, and the barbers, and Ray Marie. Father, isolation, we lift that up to you, because that is a scheme here as well, and some of it is a wilderness that you're taking some through for a temporary time, and then there's some that have isolated themselves. So, Father, we just thank you for bringing an end to those periods as well. We're not meant to live in the wilderness. So we thank you. We thank you for being greater, being our sovereign king. We thank you for bringing Halima here today, Joy's friend. We thank you for bringing Matthias here and Zach, and we just... Zach Stewart, we just thank you, Yahweh, for your great abundance in gathering. We thank you that this is a church that gathers, that loves you, that brings your spirit wherever we go. Yahweh, I thank you that we are spirit over flesh, that we may battle these things today, Yahweh, but joy comes in the morning. And we thank you that we can rededicate our temples so that your light will shine and we can shine and bring salvation to this nation. Yahweh, you sent Joseph ahead, and you do that with your people that are covenant-keeping, and we are those people. So we thank you, and we walk out confidently in that, not arrogantly, but knowing that it is a great, great honor that you've put on our shoulders. So we take that in the sincerity and somberness that it needs, and may we walk in it. And we just bless your name, Yahweh. If anybody else wants to offer up a prayer, please do it right now. If you're feeling really impressed too, please just yell it out or speak it out. Amen. 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 That's right. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
growing tired, Father, remind us that you've not given us the spirit of fear. Remind us that you've given us the spirit of love, power, and of sound mind, God, Amen. Father. And Lord, may you teach us in how we can walk in those things, God, Father. Lord, we lift up our country. This is a nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. And Lord, we are looking at the things that are going on in our country. Our hearts are pounding, Lord. We don't understand the country we are in right now. And Lord, you are the God of justice. You are the God of Jacob. You are the God of Moses. And you are the God of truth. So God, we pray that right now may you come and reveal your truth to your people, God. We've been lied to, God, Father. May you destroy every works of the darkness, God, Father. May your salvation be seen upon this country. Father, we pray that you raise us up, God, Father, and teach us how to trust you, God, and teach us how to walk with you, God, Father. Lord, we pray that America will rise up again and give you the glory and give you the praise, God, Father, no matter what we see, no matter how we feel, no matter what's happening right now, God. And Lord, we thank you for the presence you've given us in times like this, a man who has stood with Israel, a man who has stood for your righteousness, God, a man who loves this country, a man who has stood with the hardworking people in this country. Father, we pray that, Lord, may you uphold him during this difficult time, Lord, Father. May you visit his family, God. May you give him courage and strength like you have never given him before, God, Father. May you teach him to be strong and courageous, God, Father. And Lord, may you teach us how we can stand behind him and pray for him, God. Father, you command us to pray for the peace of Israel. Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for the peace, the true peace that comes from you, God, Father. May you bless your people, God, Father. May you be exalted, Lord, Father. May your light be seen. May it be revealed amongst your people, Lord Jesus. We pray for your coming. Come now, Jesus. Come. Amen. Come. Come.
Amen. Hoshea.
Come. Come, Jesus. Come.
Amen. Yeah, let's, amen. I was just thinking, let's say the opposite now. So anger is peace, right? Or patience or understanding or all those things are kind of the opposite of anger. And courage, strength, you know, what are the things? Name them out now. Energy. Creativity, excitement, joy, restore our joy, trust, shalom in our guts, yeah, truth, discernment, yeah, flexibility in our joints, yeah, and let's start this week with joy and understanding, because no matter what, our God's always on the throne, so we thank him for it. Yeah, he inhabits our praises, so we're going to praise him. Praise you, Father. Thank you. We praise you and we thank you and we bless your name. Thank you, Father. May we go forth in praise. Amen.